Grab your Bibles if you have one. Everybody wave a Bible if you own one. Amen. If you bring one, that's your sword. Amen. Praise God. Go to grab your phone then and get your phone going. But go to Revelation 13, 16. Because you have to know where to find key scriptures, because we're taught of the Word of God at FWC. Amen. In fact, this is a truth university. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is the most precious place on planet Earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 13, 16, the mark of the beast. Everybody say amen when you're there. Thank you, Rosie, for that testimony. Powerful. And he causeth all. This is the Satan. This is the Antichrist. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Everybody say a mark. In their right hand or in their foreheads. Okay? Revelation 13, 17. And that no man can buy or sell, save he that had the mark. You got to have the mark, or you're not getting a piece of bread. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You've got to have him to have anything. Okay? You get it? 18. Here is wisdom, church. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 600, 666, or 666. 666 will never get you to a 7. Amen? You can get it any... It is always short of the number 7, okay? We need to be rolling 777s, amen? But 666 is man. Man can never attain unto God until he's born again, amen? And everybody's rolling 666 in this room just by being born into this world with the sin nature until you get born again. I want everybody watching us to know that unless a man be born again, Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, amen? So to begin with, I want you to set the record straight here. Satan's victories are dependent upon deceit. He's going to try to deceive that the whole world, the Bible says. That old dragon's going to try to deceive the whole world, right? He wants control. And he cannot stand exposure. So Christians, right now, you guys got to be praying like no other that all the darkness and all the deeds of the darkness that you know are going on out there in the election, in the media, and all there, you've got to be praying. Amen? I'm telling you, prayer meetings should be running every night. Prayer meetings should be filled and full, and we should be using our power in worship to send ambushments, and then our power in prayer to call down the deceptions that are happening out there in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus has already defeated the enemy at Calvary. He only exists by the will of God. Satan and the Antichrist are only existing by the will of God. You think about that. His kingdom is built on lies, for he is the father of lies. It's important for you to know this morning, especially you that are able ministers of the gospel, that this deception works in two directions. The first is this. He'll accuse God's word of being a lie. You ever had anybody come up to you and say, I don't even believe God's word. I don't even trust that it's true. Well, that's where he's going to start, and he's going to trip up a lot of people there. Then he's going to pervert the word. He's going to make being born again something like sprinkling water on your forehead when you're born. Going to pervert that. He's going to say that, no, you've already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to deceive a whole lot of other people. You get that at salvation. So you never seek for anything deeper than what you got at conversion. There's a ton of deception and a ton of cards that are being played by the devil all the time to try to trip you up and to keep you bound. How many want to be bound? Absolutely not. I don't either. So he's going to use religious leaders to keep us bound. He's going to tell you that there's no hell, there's no mark, and there's no heaven. Well, I want to blow that away. There is a heaven and a hell. There's a mark, and it's going to be revealed what it is here in a few moments. Then he hits us with the second lie. Here's the second lie. He'll admit that there is a hell, there is a mark, and he himself will interpret what that mark is. And he'll say, well, it's the vaccine. It's the vaccine that some people have already taken. And have you read the reports on the vaccine? As soon as you get the vaccine from, I don't know, Pfizer, Moderna, or whoever's putting that out, the big chemical companies, there's been some guinea pigs that have died. There's been another one, and again, this is speculative, but these are reports that I'm getting that come into my news feed from my snoops that are all throughout this land, okay? But one of them said, I've taken the vaccine and I can't feel God anymore. It's like it's taken the soul out of me. And I can't seem to reach God anymore. Anybody read that one or talk about that one? Interesting to me that the Democratic line says reaching the soul of the nation. Did you read that when Mr. Blue Suit stands up there on the Democratic side and says, he said, we want to reach the soul of the nation. This is interesting to me. It says text 303333 or whatever else. And if you divide that by 2020, do you know what the number you get is? 666. Reaching the soul of the nation. 666. This is our plan. This is our agenda. Isn't that interesting? Maybe it's just happenstance. Don't know. But it is interesting to a guy like me. Amen. We've got to know who's preaching the gospel in this hour. We got to know the word of God in this moment. We've got to know, you able ministers have to know what is truth and what is error in this hour. So we've been talking about that on a Wednesday night. Amen. There's no place that he uses this tactic more than in the mark of the beast. He's going to tell you it's a vaccine. And he's going to tell you right after that, they're going to want to put chips in your hand. Anybody heard any of that stuff? Raise your hand if you have or not. Young people, have you heard that? Caleb's heard of it. You know, they are chipping all across the country and in certain states more than others. This is interesting. So, we know that the mark is future, but we seem to have caught up with future. Isn't that interesting? That we used to read about these things 20 and 30 years ago in my life, 15 and 10, we thought, it's distant. But to see the technology that is there now, and to see the interest in doing some of these things, and quantum dot tattoos, and 5G technology, which will instantly show you where we're at, and if there's a problem in the nation, and there's a hurricane that goes through, we will instantly be able to recognize if there's somebody laying under that rubble. And so 5G and the chip will then show us exactly how to get that person. We'll know who that person is. In fact, we'll know exactly what they said last because we're recording what they say. And we can we know all their strokes and all their clicks on, and we followed them to the nth degree. And there's a database now watching you and controlling you and wanting more access. And did you hear that Twitter and Facebook are involved in some legalities right now for playing into some elections? Anybody hear that? That's factual. I can say that. That is the truth. Okay, so your social media is very, very interested right now in what's happening in the world. So there's millions of Christians out there that are living their life also, here's the problem, they're living their life in lukewarm condition. And they're saying this, that if I miss the rapture of the church, I will just do this. As a failsafe, I won't take the mark. You ever heard that? Well, if I don't make the rapture and get caught up out with all the Christians, I'll be in the tribulation. Some people believe this. And so I will just refuse the mark and it'll cost my life. But I'll still go to heaven. Because to take the mark historically has meant certain death. Anybody with me in this so far? So we live in Cumming County, Nebraska. This is cattle country. One out of every five hamburgers have come from, that you eat in the nation, have come from this county and all the feedlots. So we know, anybody know what a brand is? Cattle guys and whatever else, you guys know what a brand is? You get that thing hot and you grab that. You guys ever branded? Yeah? Janet has, I know she has. So we know what a brand is. But I want to say that Satan will only brand those that are already his. Okay? He cannot brand the true child of God, which walks with God. And he will only brand those whom he has made his over time and preparation. Because look at this in Revelation 15:2, if you want to go there this morning. Revelation 15:2 in the Word of God. It speaks of a multitude who have gotten the victory over his mark and over the number of his name. This is an important verse because it points to us to two truths. Here's the number one truth. Multitudes are there. Multitudes overcame at this time. I saw it as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory, everybody say, gotten the victory, over the beast and over his image and over the mark and over the number of his name, and they stood upon a sea of glass having harps of God. These people had won a victory during the time when the mark was there, the image, and they had won a victory. Amen. Can you see it? They had gotten this victory. So John sees this people that have already made it. They've already overcome, and they have overcome the number of his name. I want you guys to know that there is overcoming power during this hour of tribulation. Somebody say amen to that. There's overcoming power during the hour of tribulation. Amen. In fact, there's going to be a great multitude that comes out of tribulation, more than anybody has ever seen, that are going to give their hearts and lives during the tribulation to the Lord. God sees it, and it's talked about here. These people that have, says, gotten the victory over the time of his, the beast, his image, the mark, and the number. And God sees that. And I want you guys to know that no matter what is going to be, we're going to face in the future, God has risen that you would have power in this hour. Amen. He's written that you would have boldness, resources, answers, life, assurance, victory, holiness, and joy in this moment of time. Amen. That's what the true believer has in Jesus Christ. Anybody have the fruit of the Spirit this morning? Amen. Anybody have the fruit in this hour? Amen. That God has come and touched us, and he's given us a complete victory. Not a partial victory, Roger. Roger, now come on. But a full victory over every trial, over every conflict and criticism, unkind word, over every devil, over every rejection, over all the guilt, abuse, everything that went to that cross and stays there, gives you a victory this morning in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Jesus has the power by the blood to heal sickness and to heal the coronavirus this morning. Amen. To take away every disease, everything, every pestilence upon this earth. He said in that passage, when I send pestilence on the earth, he said, if my people who are called according to my name would pray, then I would heal their land when the pestilence comes and God allowed it. Amen. We have power to go. God has given us the keys to the kingdom this morning, and he causes us to pray. He asks us to overcome and to be overcomers in this hour. Amen. More than conquerors, the Bible says. And that word is Nike, so you can trod on serpents and scorpions and all over the powers of the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know if you're hearing me or not, but Jesus wants to give you power over really this sinful self. Everybody say S-E-L-F. Jesus conquered death to give us victory in these areas of our life. He's made us more than conquerors, the Bible says. And in the Bible, it says that name denotes character. A name denotes character. That's why all your names, what does Samantha mean in the Bible? Samantha means? Victor. Victorious. Name denotes a character, okay? Praise God. So these people, in overcoming the number and the name of the beast, have also overcome the character of the beast, because name denotes character. Beast, imagine the beast's character, right? Talking about character, a beast is an antichrist. A Christ, an anti means against Christ, right? He's against Christ. Okay. So in the Bible, there's two forces. There's good and evil. Right, Rod? Good and evil. That's all there is. And both are seeking you guys this morning. Listen, every young person and every old person in this room, they all want you. God's after you, and he's coming through the cross and through Jesus Christ as the greatest missionary to your soul. He wants you. Amen? But the devil's coming after you. He considers himself to have already gotten you, and what he wants to do is lead you astray and deceive the whole wide world. So there's two spirits, there's two natures, and they're both coming after you because you guys are the ultimate product and prize of creation. Satan wants you to bow down and worship him. Amen? God wants you to stand up and worship him. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And as we learn, as we get born again, and as we learn to walk by the Spirit, God's nature becomes our nature. As we walk in the Holy Spirit, and as we get downloads from God, and as we walk in His Word, we become more and more like Jesus every day. I want to tell you this. The ultimate purpose in God's plan is to conform Stephanie into the image of God. That's the ultimate purpose. Everybody read, somebody read three off your page again, really loud. What does number three mean? You got it? Who's got number three off that page that I handed out?
To develop each individual Christian until he attains unto the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Anybody there yet, by the way? Are you at the fullness of the stature of Jesus? Aaron Trimble's not yet either. Take heart. Amen. The whole Hall of Fame struggled. Amen. And so that gives us all hope this morning. Praise God. But God does have a plan. He starts with a new birth. Amen. And then he'll start to fill you with a desire to have the fullness of God in your heart. And he'll fill you and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in that, he'll give you a download of God's nature and God's life. Hallelujah. God's nature. Creator's life. Amen. The most important thing on this earth. And we learn this conformity to Christ and this union with God, which is the key to eternal life. Hallelujah. On the other hand, listen to this. Satan seeks to conform you and to conform the unregenerate man to himself. So Satan has the exact same counterproductive plan. Wow. Man is the object of both worlds. He'll be used either of God to express God in this universe, or he will be used of Satan to express Satan in this universe. Isn't that interesting? That Adam chose the devil. He was deceived. Adam and Eve, they chose the devil. God had created him to be the expressed image and the image bearer of God Almighty. To take his image, to take his authority, to take his power, and to have purpose to name the animals and do so much more. And had Adam stayed true to this calling, there would not be a place on planet Earth anywhere where the gospel hasn't been preached. Because if we are all image bearers and we never fell, then the gospel would have permeated every inch of the whole known world. There wouldn't be billions and billions of people on earth that have never received the gospel at this moment, right? But God sends Jesus to save some, a remnant people, and tells them with his power, and then fills them with his power and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now listen to me. Why is this important? Because only you then, God's going to work through people, right? Yeah. He's going to work through people. Satan's going to work through people. So then only you can reach the people that you can reach and to go into all your world preaching this gospel. Amen? Only you can reach these people. That's why you're on earth. Go ahead and read your 1, 2, 3, and 4 to realize what the church is really all about. It's to make you powerful and potent in the kingdom of God so that we give God the praise and all the glory and all the worship that he could ever want or desire. And because he's worthy and he's deserving of that. Amen? And he's not glorified as much when you guys say, number three, just the measure and stature and fullness of Christ, kind of a tall order. I think I'm going to settle for maybe just saved. Yeah. You know, I don't understand all the things of the Bible, and I've been a Christian a long time, but that's okay because I got to make a living. Is that scriptural? And I'm real busy, and I got tons of stuff, and I'm very active. There's little time to do anything else. Are you with me in this? Don't blow the whole reason you're saved. You've been adopted as sons and daughters. You've been predestined and called into the election to go into all the world, to be filled with his power, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Can I get an amen? Amen?
Amen?
That's the vocation of the church. Don't miss it. Your worship is not a little, I think I'm going to get bored during worship this morning. And then let's go get a big feed at Famous Dave's.
Amen.
You're missing something, friend. And it's either salvation or the reason that you don't want to throw down and worship God is because you've never been, maybe never known this. That's the power of God. It's the power for you, him to inhabit your praises and for him to, imagine Jesus taking bazookas and sorry, I'm a Rambo guy and I'm a, you know, too much Arnold Schwarzenegger. But imagine you guys are really praying and you're really pressing in and what God is doing is going, he's just blowing to smithereens. He's blowing to smithereens the enemies of your God. That's why you praise and worship. He's sending ambushments. They're bombs. They're attacks into the enemy's camp. Are you getting me now? Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So man is the object of both worlds. Satan wants you. God wants you. Right? And Satan's nature is the mark of the beast. What are we talking about? Well, let's go. It's 1318, Revelation 1318. Here is wisdom, church. It's 666, Dan. This is man's nature in its extremity. And man without God is a beast. Man without God is a beast. Turn a lot of us loose, add alcohol, and send us to Cancun, and I'll show you the beast nature. Man, woman, what doesn't matter. Total depravity is the beast nature. Are you with me? Here's the word. I want you guys to say it with me. Selfishness. 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 It's S-E-L-F, okay? It's the law of the jungle, and that is the nature of the beast is selfishness. The Bible says in the end time there would be lovers of... the animal will eat. The animal will eat its own for survival. Me and Matt, when we were little kids, Matt had a certain area that he had to clean up, and we had pigs, we feral pigs. And remember in the barn, Matt, we'd let the sows out and they'd go out to go eat out the door, and you remember they'd sometimes trying to get them back in, they'd be right on your leg or about ready to tear your leg off. And then some of the little piglets would get out. Every once in a while, we had a sow that would come and she'd just glom up the pigs. It's the truth. There was times when the mother would go in and she'd eat her own young. Do you know what we call that? The pig nature. The pig nature. Do you remember that, Matt? Man without God is a pig. Listen. Her own life, that pig, I'm talking about that pig, her own life meant more to her than her offspring. Are you listening to me? Her own life meant more to her than her offspring and her future and her plans. She would chew up anything in her. That's the law of the jungle. That's the selfish nature. And all the vices of fallen man and angels have their root in the proud atheism of self. Everything, because it's an anti-God deal. It's and so, church, without a death to self, there's no escape from Satan's power. We need the cross. We need the blood. We need Jesus to come or we're all doomed. Amen. The Spirit of God brings us the spirit of humility. Can I get an amen there? The spirit of the beast is the spirit of self-exaltation. Right? Or pride. We see it in Lucifer in the beginning. He was so lifted up because of his beauty. So lifted up because of his beauty. The great, great singer and dancer and performer of the legions of heaven, Matt. He thought he could become like God. And so his self-exaltation casts him out, right? Can I get an amen? Herein lies the struggle of eternal life. Pride and humility are the two kingdoms that strive for the proud possession of man. And the devil wants the man. And God wants the man. And so there's this fight and there's this spiritual battle over all of these things being laid out right now. In the book of Thessalonians, we see the man Antichrist spoken of. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says this about Antichrist. He sits in the temple of God. He sits in the temple of God, saying that he is God. We're going to see this come to pass as a real Antichrist comes at the mid-trib point and calls himself God upon this earth. But in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of God?" So what's going to happen in the natural is happening right now in you. And there are two people vying for the position, the pole position, upon your heart, Sister Steph. You spoke this yesterday. I want to ask you the question this morning. Is Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of your life, or are you sitting on the throne of your life?
Amen.
Are you calling all the shots and running all the activities and all the controlling programming? Because if you are, the beast nature is in effect, and it's law of the jungle, survival of the fittest, run, 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 run. Or is it the pages? Somebody hold up the page again. The handout. Or is it 1, 2, 3, and 4 for your life? The vocation of the church, the vocation of Christianity, and your reason for being alive and having a purpose on planet Earth. Because I believe even Christians can get deceived from this. You can be caught up in the world, amen? And you can be just running, running, and forget even the true reason why you've been called. The Antichrist sits in the temple of God in that passage. And what's actually sitting there is S-E-L-F manifest, which is his nature. But Jesus Christ's nature, Blake, is totally different. Jesus isn't about self-exaltation, is he? He says, no, I am meek and lowly of heart. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For I am meek, meek and lowly of heart. He's just the opposite. Humble, lowly. He came in riding on a donkey, right? That's how he came in, you guys. He's not coming that way the next time.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. If this be Christ, then self-exaltation is the highest and fullest opposition to Christ. Everything that lifts its head up against Christ. And think about this. We can invert this scripture. If I be lifted up, will I draw all men unto? It's just the opposite of what Christ. You see the twist on that scripture? The satanic twist? You guys, we have to be about our Father. And if we are, we'll have his nature. If we're filled with him. Now listen to this. I'm going to throw a wrench at you guys. There's probably a lot of people that would have voted for Trump in this room. Listen, the nature of Christ is come unto me, for I'm meek and lowly. If this be Christ, this is humility. Self-exaltation being the highest and fullest opposition. What is going to be the spirit of the Antichrist that opposes Jesus Christ? If Christ is humble, what's going to be the opposite spirit that's going to expose? What is it?
Pride.
Pride, ego, superego, self, self-interest. And it may deceive the very elect. I know I just threw a wrench at you all right there, okay? Self has become the God of millions that go to church every Sunday. We pay lip service, we sing, we don't know why we're singing. And we're actually worshiping at other altars in our mind, and we're already there and wondering how fast we can get there. Listen, Proverbs 6:16. It says, 6 things the Lord doth hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to God. Proverbs 6:16, if you have it. You guys know this laundry list of things that God hates the most? And I would argue with you guys that if you, how many have said, I'm the chief of sinners? Paul did. Sarah did. Well, I guarantee the first one is this. A proud look. God doesn't like pride. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked imagination. And it goes on and on. And I've lived to see most Christian people proud even of their humility. You ever seen that? Okay? I think you mentioned that the other day. But if a man's going to boast in anything, Rosie, let it be about his sin and his misery and where he was and how God saved him out of the, and what God has done since then, amen, since salvation, and how God is using whatever vessel to flourish in this world, amen? Selfishness, then, is the nature of hell. It's the nature and mark of the beast. And nothing is more important to selfish people than themselves. B.H. Clendenin told this story long ago. He said, you know, I love the presence, I love the power, I love the moving and operation in your church, but what does your church have for young people? And does it, what does it have for old people? And what does it have for fat people? And what does it have for skinny people? And what does it have for this people? And what does it have for that people? And ultimately, people are more about their felt needs and meeting their felt needs, which is this whole seeker-sensitive idea. Poll the church. Ask the church what you really would like about church. Would you like a big screen TV? Would you like a fog machine? Would you like a hamburger at midpoint? Would you like a shorter service? And so they do this big combination of this seeker-sensitive, seeking what you want for your felt needs. You want a foot massage or a pedi while you're there? Can we change your oil while you're, you know what I mean? And while we're doing that, we have just gone into just the opposite of what Christ would have done. And so we've offered people for 40 years in the church trying to meet their felt needs when really we need to meet the need of God. We've got one thing in this church, and it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, preached in power and unction, and it's for every single people group. Can I get an amen, Rod? Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. We don't need a program. We need Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you guys to think about this. When Hitler was born, who knows Hitler? Who knows Stalin? They were born, they were carried like little babies, like little Liam right there. They had the potential then to be a Christian. Stalin even studied as a priest, did you guys know that? To learn some things about God. So as a little baby, they had every opportunity to either become used of God or used of the devil. And they were used by Satan, amen, to do harmful and horrible things. Stalin, I believe, has killed 80 million people or something like that. And you guys know the Holocaust and still believe it. Amen. So we have the ability to then, the Bible says we're fearfully made. Fearfully or wonderfully made. Which one are you? Fearful is the fact that little Trevor could grow up and become a Hitler. Unless the church gets to him and goes 1, 2, 3, 4. Unless God intervenes in his life by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and changes his world, right? That you could turn out to be a Dahmer. Or that you could be anything. We could grow up fearfully. But Jesus said, no, you're wonderfully made. Because the possibilities, the divine possibilities come in when you get born of the Spirit of the living God. And now you're wonderfully made. Amen? That's the wonder part of that. You have the ability then to be filled with the divine nature. And the divine nature to change everything about your history and your eternity. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody can come and turn this thing around. And God alone can by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And by faith in what He can do. The Holy Spirit can come and saturate you. And come and bring power. And come and change the world around you. And we can touch every people group in the world. Amen. And if you go there, Blake, into that John Deere, then Jesus Christ is in that John Deere. Yes, amen. Amen. And if you go to that McCarthy site, then Jesus Christ is there. And if you go into that school, dear God, Christ is there. And so now Christ can start to take over everything. And the vocation of the church, brother, it can start to play off in your life. Amen. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to go. I'm going to preach. I'm going to disciple people. Amen. I'm going to be filled with His power, and we're going to see God move in this hour everywhere upon this earth. And church, we've got the message. Let's take it to the whole known world right now. I was talking to my friend Nathan Niedopak, and he's very, very prophetic. He loves talking about prophecy. I hope to have him come, but he believes this is going to happen, Hugo. He believes Trump is going to get in. He believes Trump's going to get in, you guys, so do I, by the way, okay? And I'm still praying that way. But he believes there's going to be such an unrest for about 3 to 4 months in this country. If you see riots now, I said if you see the beast nature out there saying whatever is yours is now mine, socialism, right? I'm going to tip over everything. I'm going to knock out your target, and I'm going to take back everything I want with a hammer. That's my civil right. No, you need to be in jail. And I pray to God that we still have law and order. Amen. So that we have police officers that can still enforce it. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. Dear Lord Jesus. And I sure pray to God that we stand with Israel. Are you guys interested in standing with Israel? Amen. Amen. You think that's important in this hour? But he said there's going to be an upheaval of this. And this beast nature is going to come upon the United States of America. And is going to turn this thing upside down. For about 3 or 4 months until things get shaken out again. And God might just be giving us a small window of time to do what? Absolutely. Hold up the paper again. To do 1, 2, 3, and 4. The whole reason you're here in the first place. Number three, I'm keying in on number three, Blake. What did it say again?
To develop each individual Christian until he attains unto the fullness of the stature of Christ.
You know why? So God can receive the glory out of your life.
Amen.
If you are ascending to be like Christ, conformity to Jesus, through prayer and learning and revelations, like Paul learned through revelation, you know, he got closer and closer to Jesus. He said, I've not yet attained, but I'm getting closer all the time. You guys, God gets glory out of that even when we suffer. And in our weakness, amen, he gives us more grace and more revelation of Jesus Christ, amen. So you guys, this is win-win for every single person in this room.
Yeah.
This is revival time for the church of the living God. He said, during this 3 to 4 months, I believe that there's going to be an influx into churches of the remnant people that are looking for truth. I believe that's the reason we're here. I believe that's the moment of time in human history, right before the rapture of the church, that we see a great move of God in the harvest fields of the whole nation. If not, people have already been marked. Listen to me. They've already been marked by this nature. This nature is selfishness. Right? You're going to see a great separation. And I want to close out by revelation, by a scripture in Revelation. Let's jump to the end. You guys ready to go home? Well, let's go to the end here. There's a couple things that are happening. Oh, I wish I had time to preach this. You guys remember that whole lunar eclipse? I'll talk to the young people. Not lunar, it was the sun, wasn't it?
Solar,
thank you. Do you remember how it came across? It went from Salem, Oregon down here to... It made this little thing, right? Did you know there's going to be another intersection 7 years after that, according to NASA? And do you know the letter? The next intersection's coming like this. Remember, I preached about this. And so it's going to intersect this and like this. And you know what it makes? The letter Tav in the Hebrew. Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Tav means truth, or truth is about to depart. It's a 7-year breakup. It's going to happen. And I would say that this has been the Passover for seven. We're involved in that 7-year time frame. And once Tav, or truth, has ended in the United States, it comes over America. Okay? The letter is over America. Finito. God's either taking us out and trib starts or whatever else. That's something prophetically that your pastor sees. Okay? Go to Revelation 21 as we close this morning. Every single one of us is being branded. We're being stamped either in selfishness or in spirituality. All of y'all are being stamped. Oh man, the stamps are all over you guys. Revelation 21:1-8 says this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what's coming, guys. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. You going to live there someday? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God wants to live with men. Can you see that? And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them. And he will be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, because there's going to be a lot of it in the trib. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That's all coming out of the tribulation. For the former things are passed away. That's tribulation sorrows, you guys, that are going to crush people and really bring about the death toll in the tribulation is about a third of the earth's population. But look, in verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make everything new, all things new. And he said, write down this. In verse 6, he says, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Anybody got a bottle of water in this place? Man, if you could just get a bottle of water. It's got to have something in it. Is anybody thirsty? I'm parched, you guys, because I've been preaching like, is anybody thirsty? You know God's here to come in your busyness and, hey, Caesar, he's here to put this in your mouth. He's here to give you the water. He's here he's here to baptize you in this water. He's here to fill you with this. Amen. He is the living water. Amen. Anybody need a refreshing? Jesus Christ said, if anybody's thirsty, I'm right here. Come and get me. Amen. God is just reaching out to us over and over and over again. 7. Read 7 with me, everybody, as we close out. Come on, stay with me. Everybody say, he that overcomes. This is what you got to overcome. The world, the flesh, which is yourself, and the devil, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and they shall be my son. Verse 8. Now look at that. You guys, that's the greatest news you've ever heard. We're coming on to verse 8. I'm going to give you everything. Everything, everything. Healing. Autism's gone, you guys. Amen. Sickness and disease, tears, they're all gone. Jenny, everything. But there's a great separation happening right now, Sam. Read the first 3 words of the next verse, Sam Kirch. 8. Stop right there. Everybody say it with me, but the fearful. Say it again, but the fearful. Say it again, but the fearful, Paul. Say it again. I'm here to tell you something, you guys. Listen. What's the next word? The fearful and the what?
Unbelieving.
There's a difference between fear and faith, sister. There's a difference between fear and faith. Faith is going to walk on. Faith is going to preach. Faith is going to be anointed. Faith is going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Faith is going to see the revival of the world. Faith is going to see the harvest. Faith is going to sit itself at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Faith is going to have Jesus Christ feed you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Faith is going to see this thing come to pass. Faith is going to cause you to believe. Faith is going to cause you to stand up, hallelujah, with another spirit in this hour of darkness and believe God. Amen. Faith is going to cause your name to be written in the Lamb's book of life and the hall of fame of faith. Faith, hallelujah. Faith alive in this moment is going to change the world. Hallelujah. And dear God, it's going to allow you to go 1, 2, 3, 4. It's going to allow God's kingdom to come upon this earth in this time. And it'll revive everything that it touches. Hallelujah. You just put a circle around me, and as long as God's in that circle with me, I will revive everything I walk into. Amen? And so will you. That's our destiny. Rod, that's your destiny, man. There are great things, amen, about to happen. And God's going to move all around this earth. Hallelujah. And I don't want to be fearful and unbelieving. I don't want the beast nature. I don't want it at all. I want to ask you guys, which one are you today? Selfish? Fearful? Unbelieving? Or brothers and sisters, are you faithful? And are you filled? And are you marked by the control of the Holy Spirit in your life? You are so marked by God. Tav is written on your forehead already. Overcomer is written upon my forehead right now. We have overcome everything. Hallelujah. No matter what comes, we are going to walk in overcoming victory and power. Which one are you this morning? Amen. Would you come and play, Tony, for just a second as we close out this great service and this great teaching institution and this great worship session and this great worship center, because you, the ministers, are here. Amen. More than that, God's here and he's filling us and anointing us. Stand to your feet today.